So, who is it in Unite, then? Who is giving you opinions on your evidence? Dr. Hill, well, it's just the people there. I don't, Dr. Lowry. So they have a say in your conclusions. Dr. Hill, yeah. Dr. Lowry, could you please give me a name of someone in Unitaid I could speak to so that I can share my evidence and hope to try and persuade them to understand it? Dr. Hill, oh, I'll have a think about who to offer you with a name, but I mean, this is very difficult because I'm, you know, I've got this role where I'm supposed to produce this paper, and we're in a very difficult, delicate balance. Dr. Lowry interjects, who are these people? Who are these people saying this? Dr. Hill, yeah, it's a very strong lobby, Dr. Lowry. Okay, look, I think I can see we're kind of at a dead end because you seem to have a whole lot of excuses, but you know that to justify bad research practice. So I'm really, really sorry about this, Andy. I really, really wish, and you've explained quite clearly to me in both what you've been saying and in your body language, that you're not entirely comfortable with your conclusions, that you're in a tricky position because of whatever influence people are having on you, and including the people who have paid you and who have basically written that conclusion for you. Dr. Hill, you've just got to understand I'm in a difficult position. I'm trying to steer a middle ground, and it's extremely hard. Dr. Lowry, yeah, middle ground. The middle ground is not a middle ground. You've taken a position right to the other extreme, calling for further trials that are going to kill people. So this will come out and you will be culpable. And I can't understand why you don't see that, because the evidence is there and you are not just denying it, but your work's actually actively obfuscating the truth, and this will come out. So I'm really sorry. As I say, you seem like a nice guy, but I think you've just kind of been misled somehow. Hill promised he would do everything in his power to get ivermectin approved if she would give him 6 weeks. Dr. Hill, well, what I hope is that this stalemate that we're in doesn't last very long. It lasts a matter of weeks, and I guarantee I will push for this to last for as short amount of time as possible. Dr. Lowry, so how long do you think the stalemate will go on for? How long do you think you will be paid to make the stalemate go on? Dr. Hill, from my side, okay, I think end of February we will be there 6 weeks. Dr. Lowry, how many people die every day? Dr. Hill, oh sure, I mean, you know, 15,000 people a day. Dr. Lowry, 15,000 people a day times 6 weeks. Because at this rate, all other countries are getting ivermectin except the UK and the USA. Because the UK and the USA and Europe are owned by the vaccine lobby. Dr. Hill, my goal is to get the drug approved and to do everything I can to get it approved so that it reaches the maximum. Dr. Lowry, you're not doing everything you can, because everything you can would involve saying to those people who are paying you, I can see this prevents deaths, so I'm not going to support this conclusion anymore, and I'm going to tell the truth. Dr. Hill, what, I've got to do my responsibilities to get as much support as I can to get this drug approved as quickly as possible. Dr. Lowry, well, you're not going to get it approved the way you've written that conclusion. You've actually shot yourself in the foot, and you've shot us all in the foot. All of everybody trying to do something good. You have actually completely destroyed it. Dr. Hill, okay, well, that's where we'll have to agree to differ. Dr. Lowry, yeah, well, I don't know how you sleep at night, honestly. At the conclusion of the January 14th Bird Conference, Dr. Lowry delivered a monumental closing address that should be recorded among the most important speeches in the annals of medical history. Dr. Lowry spoke out at considerable personal risk, since her livelihood and career largely rely on the very agencies she targeted for criticism. Dr. Lawry began by endorsing the miraculous efficacy of IVM. Had ivermectin been employed in 2020, when medical colleagues around the world first alerted the authorities to its efficacy, millions of lives could have been saved, and the pandemic, with all its associated suffering and loss, brought to a rapid and timely end. Dr. Lawry told the audience that the suppression of ivermectin was a signal that pharma's pervasive corruption had turned a medical cartel against patients and against humanity. The story of ivermectin has highlighted that we are at a remarkable juncture in medical history. The tools that we use to heal and our connection with our patients are being systematically undermined by relentless disinformation stemming from corporate greed. The story of ivermectin shows that we as a public have misplaced our trust in the authorities and have underestimated the extent to which money and power corrupts. Dr. Lawry called for reform of the method used to analyze scientific evidence. They who design the trials and control the data also control the outcome. So, this system of industry-led trials needs to be put to an end. Data from ongoing and future trials of novel COVID treatments must be independently controlled and analyzed. Anything less than total transparency cannot be trusted. Dr. Lawry called out the corruption of modern medicine by Big Pharma and other interests and attributed the barbaric suppression of IVM to the single-minded obsession with more profitable vaccines. Since then, hundreds of millions of people have been involved in the largest medical experiment in human history. Mass vaccination was an unproven novel therapy. Hundreds of billions will be made by Big Pharma and paid for by the public. With politicians and other non-medical individuals dictating to us what we are allowed to prescribe to the ill, we as doctors have been put in a position such that our ability to uphold the Hippocratic Oath is under attack. She hinted at Gates's role in the suppression. At this fateful juncture, we must therefore choose: will we continue to be held ransom by corrupt organizations, health authorities, Big Pharma, and billionaire sociopaths, or will we do our moral and professional duty to do no harm and always do the best for those in our care? The latter includes urgently reaching out to colleagues around the world to discuss which of our tried and tested safe older medicines can be used against COVID. Never before has our role as doctors been so important, because never before have we become complicit in causing so much harm. Finally, Dr. Lawry suggested that physicians form a new World Health Organization that represents the interests of the people, not corporations and billionaires, a people-centered organization. On October 1, 2021, Hill resurfaced on Twitter, touting his upcoming lecture, ironically titled Effects of Bias and Potential Medical Fraud in the Promotion of Ivermectin. Says Pierre Corey in disgust, Andrew is apparently making a living now accusing the doctors and scientists who support ivermectin of medical fraud. Dr. Corey adds, Hill and his backers are some of the worst people in human history. They are responsible for the deaths of millions. Andrew Hill's emergence is only one front in the war by NIH and the medical media cartel to block doctors from using IVM. FDA issued its first warning about IVM on April 10, 2020, in reaction to ivermectin studies by Australia's Monash University and American physician Dr. Jean-Jacques Ryder, claiming on its website additional testing is needed to determine whether ivermectin might be safe or effective to prevent or treat coronavirus or COVID-19. When Dr. Corey's explosive December 8, 2020 Senate testimony describing the peer-reviewed science supporting ivermectin went viral, Prescriptions for ivermectin from U.S. doctors exploded. Americans were getting legitimate prescriptions filled at pharmacies, up to 88,000 scripts in a single week. The truth of the drug's benefits was going viral, and the last thing Dr. Fauci et al. Could tolerate was an effective treatment for COVID. Something needed to be done. The government moved aggressively to block its use. On December 24th, in what seemed like a trial balloon, the South African government quietly banned the importation of ivermectin. YouTube soon scrubbed Corey's video, and Facebook blocked him. Then, in March 2021, the U.S. FDA, the European Medicines Association, EMA, and the WHO issued statements advising against the use of ivermectin for COVID-19. The EMA said it should not be used at all. The WHO, echoing its strategy for tanking hydroxychloroquine, said ivermectin's use should be limited to clinical trials. The high costs of running a clinical trial and their reliance on NIH, NIAID, Gates, or pharma funding means that their results may be easily controlled. FDA issued a much firmer directive. You should not use ivermectin to treat or prevent COVID-19. Here are the FDA guidelines. The FDA has not authorized or approved ivermectin for use in preventing or treating COVID-19 in humans or animals. Ivermectin is approved for human use to treat infections caused by some parasitic worms and head lice and skin conditions like rosacea. Currently, available data do not show ivermectin is effective against COVID-19. Clinical trials assessing ivermectin tablets for the prevention or treatment of COVID-19 in people are ongoing. Taking large doses of ivermectin is dangerous. If your healthcare provider writes you an ivermectin prescription, fill it through a legitimate source, such as a pharmacy, and take it exactly as prescribed. On July 28, 2021, a front-page Wall Street Journal headline asked, "Why is the FDA attacking a safe, effective drug?" On August 16, 2021, 2 weeks after the Wall Street Journal article, CDC ordered doctors to stop prescribing IVM. On August 17, 2021, the NIAID recommended against ivermectin's use to combat the novel coronavirus. On August 26, 2021, CDC sent out an emergency warning using its Health Alert Network. In early September 2021, following the FDA, CDC, NIAID's lead, the American Medical Association, AMA, the American Pharmacists Association, APHA, and the American Society of Health System Pharmacists, ASHP, called on doctors to immediately stop prescribing ivermectin for COVID outside of clinical trials. These influential organizations are largely dependent on pharmaceutical industry largesse. On September 2, 2021, on MSNBC Tonight, Chris Hayes interviewed the president of the AMA, Dr. Gerald Harmon, who said that the AMA now advises doctors against prescribing ivermectin, except in clinical trials. He explained that the AMA is taking this unprecedented step because ivermectin isn't approved by the FDA for treatment of COVID-19. He failed to mention that up to 30% of prescriptions written by America's doctors are for off-label uses not approved by the FDA. The AMA, meanwhile, ignored the cascading toll of injuries and deaths from Big Pharma's injections, while endorsing the revolutionary notion that FDA should be the arbiter of what doctors can and cannot use to heal their patients. Physicians traditionally have had unlimited authority to prescribe FDA-approved medications for any purpose, as long as they explain the risks and benefits to their patients. Suddenly, the AMA and its industry patrons and captive regulators moved to limit the doctor's authority to treat patients. FDA has no authority to regulate the practice of medicine. As Stephen Hahn, FDA's last commissioner, no one has been appointed to the role since he left, pointed out in October 2020, off-label prescribing is between a doctor and his, her patient. The sad episode, still ongoing, raises questions one expects doctors to be asking. Is ivermectin a safe drug? Will it do harm? Are we in a situation in which authorities have not provided a proven therapeutic for COVID-19? Do treating physicians have the freedom to try medicines they have reason to believe might be helpful, particularly when there is no reason to believe the medicine will be hurtful? Doctors who answered those questions for themselves and prescribed ivermectin after early September faced growing scrutiny and heavy-handed tactics, including censorship, threats to their license and board certification, and other repressive policies from governments and medical boards. Pharmacists, including the large chains like CVS and Walmart, refused to fill prescriptions. For the first time in history, pharmacies were telling doctors what they can and cannot prescribe, says Dr. McCullough. The directives shattered the traditional sacred relationship between doctors and patients that the profession had nurtured and protected since Hippocrates. The medical profession has long told doctors that their single obligation is to their patients. The AMA's declaration helped march doctors into their new role as agents of state policy. The state policy is to prescribe treatments not based upon the health interests of the individual patient, but based upon the perceived best interests of the state. The suppression of HCQ and IVM is one of the greatest tragedies and crimes of the modern era, Dr. Peter Breggin told me. Dr. Breggin, who has been called the conscience of psychiatry by author Candace Pert, is the author of Talking Back to Prozac and COVID-19 and the Global Predators. In Florida and South Carolina, Blue Cross Blue Shield, BCBS, sent mass mailings to physicians notifying them that BCBS would no longer pay insurance claims for IVM and threatened audits of any physician who wrote prescriptions for the drug. In January 2021, Syracuse, New York attorney Ralph Lurigo filed for an injunction on behalf of a critically ill hospital patient, the mother of one of his clients, against a local hospital that was resisting family requests to treat her with ivermectin. A state superior court judge immediately granted Lurigo's request. Within 12 hours of taking ivermectin, the dying woman miraculously began to recover. 2 weeks later, Lurigo obtained a second injunction for a similarly situated client, who also made a preternatural recovery. When local news organizations reported Lurigo's IVM victories, his law office telephone began ringing off the hook. Within a few weeks, he was working 20-hour days struggling to keep up with a new cottage industry filing injunctions in New York and Ohio courts to help dying patients get access to ivermectin. To date, Lurigo has been in 30 courts. The people who I've been able to get the ivermectin to on time have all lived. The others have died. He has obtained dozens of injunctions for patients, precipitating a host of sudden recoveries. The hospitals are so arrogant, they are letting the people die. They get $37,000 to put them on the vent, and they just let them die. Merck's steps to kill its baby. During the early industry offensive against HCQ, one of the drug's principal manufacturers, Sanofi, suddenly detected safety concerns with HCQ that it had never noticed during decades of profitable pre-pandemic production. In a remarkable coincidence, on February 4, 2021, Merck similarly discovered a concerning lack of safety data in the majority of studies regarding IVM. Merck was ivermectin's original manufacturer and had formerly boasted of ivermectin as its wonder drug. During the 40 years that it marketed the drug worldwide, Merck had never spoken of these worrisome safety signals. Since 1987, Merck has given billions of doses to the developing world for scabies, river blindness, lymphatic filariasis, elephantiasis, and assorted parasites without any safety alarms. In 2016, Merck distributed 900 million doses in Africa alone. The drug is safe and has minor side effects, a Merck spokesman said at the time. Unlike previous treatments, which had serious, sometimes fatal, side effects, ivermectin is safe and can be used on a wide scale. It is also a very effective treatment and has single-handedly transformed the lives of millions of people. What prompted Merck's sudden safety concerns? Merck's exclusive ivermectin patent rights expired in 1996, and dozens of generic drug companies now produce IVM for about 40 cents a dose, badly diminishing ivermectin's profit profile for Merck. Furthermore, only 10 days before Merck discovered its concerns about IVM, Merck signed a manufacturing partnership for the Novavax and Emergent BioSolutions COVID vaccine as it moved into final trials. Furthermore, in December 2020, Merck had announced a $356 million supply deal by which NIAID agreed to purchase 60 to 100,000 doses of an experimental COVID pill called MK7110. Merck paid $425 million to buy the Oncoimmune company, which developed the drug as part of the deal. Bill Gates' quasi-governmental organization, the International AIDS Vaccine Initiative, IAVI, agreed to distribute the product in developing nations. But most importantly, ivermectin is also a low-profit competitor for another new Merck product for COVID-19. A high-cost antiviral